John chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty."
Please leave your Bibles open there at John chapter 6. Let's pray before we get into God's word. Father God, we pray that your Spirit will guide us as we reflect on these verses. Lord, remind us of all of the ways in which you have been faithful, all of the ways in which you have answered prayers. You've done more than we could even imagine. Help us to reflect on the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, the certain hope that is greater than any of our problems in this life. And help us to be reminded that you are the only thing that satisfies. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an old story about a man who was standing on a high mountain when all of a sudden he slipped. And as he slipped, he reached out his hand and just managed to catch a branch with the tips of his fingers. And as he hung there for dear life, he cried out desperately, "Is anyone up there?" And to his amazement, he heard a voice. And the voice cried out, "Yes." "Who are you?" the man asked. I'm not sure that'd be the question I would ask, but "Who are you?" The voice replied, "I am God, and I'm here to save you." "Wonderful," the man said. "What do you want me to do?" And the voice called out, "Let go of the branch." Well, there was silence for a while. Men didn't know what to do with that bit of information. And then in a loud voice, he called out, "Is anyone else up there?" Trust isn't an easy thing to come by, is it? It can take years and years to build up a level of trust and just a few moments for that trust to vanish. I recently heard somebody who's genuinely walking with the Lord struggling over their prayer life. Somebody not connected with this congregation, I might add. And she was saying that she couldn't see any point in praying anymore. This person had been praying about something that was near and dear to her heart. It was something that was genuinely very important. And it was something that seemed to be within God's will. But for reasons that I can't explain and genuinely can't understand, God chose not to answer her prayers the way she desired. Sometimes it can be hard to trust God with our circumstances. Sometimes we can get tempted to take matters into our own hands and make our own plans. But even though we won't always understand that call to let go of the branch, we can trust him no matter what we are going through in our lives, because he is the only one who satisfies. Jesus is the bread of life. Today we're starting a new series in the I Am statements of Jesus, a little break from our time in the book of Acts. We'll get back to Acts after Easter. But in the lead up to Easter, we're going to be reflecting on Jesus' words in the Gospel of John, I am. These statements provide us with a glimpse of who Jesus is and what he came to do. They point us forward to the Jesus who will judge the living and the dead. And they point us backward to all of the times when the Lord has shown his faithfulness to those who trust in him. Back in Exodus chapter 3, God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. And as God called Moses to bring his people, the Israelites, out of Egypt, Moses asked, "What is your name? What shall I tell them?" To which the Lord replied, "I am who I am." And it's no accident that when John records these I am statements of Jesus in his gospel, that he uses the same words that are used in Exodus chapter 3. Because John knew that as Jesus made these statements, he was saying that he is the God who brought his people out of Egypt with a mighty hand. He is the one who has shown his faithfulness to his people time and time again for generations, because Jesus is the great I am. Now, the background of this morning's passage is the feeding of the 5,000 that takes place in the beginning of chapter 6. Back in verse 4, if you've got your Bibles open, there we're told that it was almost Passover. That gives us a context, a timeline to when this was taking place. Now, if you remember what Passover signifies, Passover reminded God's people of the time when he passed over all of the firstborn of the people of Israel, because they had obeyed him by painting the blood of a lamb around the doorposts. The firstborn of God's people were passed over because of the blood of the lamb. And of course, that points forward to the ultimate Passover lamb. Points forward to the day when Jesus' blood would be the thing that causes God to pass over the sins of his people, sins of those who trust in him. But as they celebrated the Passover with Jesus, his disciples, and this huge crowd of 5,000 people, Jesus was pointing them back to a time when he had shown his faithfulness to God's people out in the wilderness. When Jesus saw this incredibly large crowd, 5,000 people, that's a lot of people coming out to see him and to a place where there was no shops where they could go and buy food. There was no marketplace. And so Jesus said these words, "Where shall we buy food? Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Strange thing for Jesus to say, but John tells us in verse 6 that Jesus already knew what he was about to do. This was a test to see how the disciples or the apostles would react. And so Philip answered, "It would take 8 months' wages to pay for all of the food we'd need to feed these people." Andrew's answer was, "Here's a young boy who has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, but that's not going to get you very far." But despite their concerns, Jesus told all of the people, well, told the disciples to tell all the people to have everyone to sit down. He took the bread and the fish and he blessed them. He gave thanks to God the Father for them. And as the disciples passed them around, everyone ate as much as they wanted. And there were 12 basketfuls left over, the exact number of the disciples. Now, after this, Jesus left and he went away to a quiet place to spend some time by himself, no doubt praying to God the Father. Now, it was that evening that Jesus walked on water out to his disciples who were on the lake. And then Jesus and his disciples made their way to Capernaum. While Jesus was and the disciples were on the other side of the lake at Capernaum, the crowd, those who had eaten these loaves and these fish, well, they were looking everywhere they could to find Jesus. When they arrived in Capernaum on the other side of the lake, they said, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Now, that's what you'd expect Jesus to say, well, just a little while ago or last night. But that's not what Jesus replies. He says, "I tell you the truth. You were looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." The crowd could see that Jesus was able to provide for all of their physical needs, but they couldn't see the signs that were pointing to who he is and what he had come to do. And so they were following him in the hope that he might become their new kind of Moses, that he might give them a free feed, that he might protect them and bring them out. These people were people who were living under Roman oppression. Their ancestors had known what it had been like to be in charge of all of the land, but now they were paying taxes to Rome. And so they wanted a leader like Moses, a leader who would bring them out from under Roman oppression. Jesus says to them in verse 27, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life." In other words, don't invest your time, your energy, your money, your resources, whatever they are, into having your best life now. That is not your ultimate good. Don't keep holding on to that branch, holding on, hoping for another solution. Instead, put your trust in Jesus. The crowd wasn't happy with that answer, and so they asked what they might do. Said, "What must we do to do the works that God requires?" They wanted to do something rather than trust in what God had done. Again, they were looking for another option. They were looking for another way rather than putting their faith in Jesus. They had no intention of letting go of that branch. They thought they knew what salvation looked like. And so they were waiting for this Moses-like figure, this political leader, to bring them out. And so Jesus replies with what they might do, but it wasn't what they expected. "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." See, after hearing this, they still wanted proof. They wanted proof that Jesus is who he says he is. These are the same people that had eaten the bread and enjoyed as Jesus fed all of those people. They'd seen miraculous signs, but they wanted more proof. They said, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." These people wanted a sign. They wanted Jesus to do something so they could believe in him. The trouble was, miraculous signs and wonders hadn't caused their forefathers to believe, and it wasn't going to make them believe either. After the Lord had brought his people out of slavery in Egypt with endless amounts of signs and wonders, they began to grumble against him out in the wilderness. Exodus 16 says, the people were saying, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly. So the Lord in his mercy graciously and patiently sent them bread from heaven. They called it manna. But then Numbers 11 tells us it wasn't long before they began to complain all over again. They began to say, if only we had meat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt, no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. So the Lord graciously and patiently sent them quail, sent them meat. And if their forefathers, who had seen all of these signs and wonders, still hardened their hearts, it wouldn't have mattered if in that moment Jesus made bread rain down from heaven right there and then. They still wouldn't have believed. So Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. When they heard this, they were still in their minds thinking, physical bread, we want bread, we want to be fed. So they said, well, from now on, give us this bread. We want bread and we want life. That makes sense. They were clearly confused about what Jesus was saying. And so Jesus said it again. This time he said it a bit more straightforward. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never go thirsty. Jesus is saying that he is God's provision for those who trust in him. He is all that they need. Now, it's very interesting if you were paying attention there as I read that. He says that they will never go hungry. That makes sense for bread, but also never go thirsty. I'm no cook, but I can tell you that bread doesn't do much for your thirst. But what Jesus is saying is, he's saying that he is all that we need. He's not just going to fulfill our physical hunger. He is going to fulfill all that we need. People were fixated on the fact that they could see Jesus was able to deliver them from their physical hunger and their physical sickness. They couldn't see their spiritual need. They couldn't see all the blessings that life in him would bring. So rather than letting go of that branch and trusting him, they were more interested in making him into some sort of Moses-like figure, a political leader or an earthly king. While they wanted a new version of the older Moses, the greater Moses was right there in front of them. Sadly, they were so caught up in all of their earthly problems, they simply couldn't see it. They could see the value in a free meal when Jesus fed the 5,000. They liked the kinds of things Jesus was doing, feeding people and healing the sick. They couldn't see nor understand the eternal value of Jesus, that he is the bread of life. Well, it's easy for us to be critical of the people in the crowd. Reality is we can get just as caught up in our daily lives as they were. We can get just as busy trying to pursue all of the things that we want to get out of this life. So busy that we push the bread of life to one side. Today we're being reminded to let go of that branch and to put our trust in Jesus for all that we need. In the wilderness, God provided for the Israelites by feeding them bread from heaven. That bread if they held on to it too long, would go moldy. They couldn't keep it. And if they ate it, well, once they'd eaten it, it was all gone. But the bread of life satisfies our hunger in a way that will never perish. It won't be all used up once we have eaten it. Now, these verses aren't minimizing our physical needs and concerns, but they're pointing us to a food that satisfies our hunger in a way that nothing else can. Every other way we try and satisfy our hunger does not last. Just think of the book of Ecclesiastes. All of the different ways the writer of Ecclesiastes says, I've experienced all of this incredible wealth, all of this incredible privilege, and yet none of it matters. It's all meaningless. None of it satisfies. Only Christ satisfies. I mean, things like retail therapy, even family and friends and our job, those things, we enjoy those things. They're wonderful things. But they will not ultimately satisfy us the way Christ can. Sooner or later, we'll find ourselves hungering for more, wanting something else. That is, unless we have made Christ our ultimate joy. He is the only one who is able to satisfy all of our needs. Unless we eat from the bread of life, we will inevitably spend our days working for food that spoils. Today we are being reminded that there is only one way to satisfy our hunger and thirst, and that is by putting our trust in Jesus and reminding ourselves of where our trust lies daily. Jesus is the bread of life. He is sent by God to satisfy all of our needs, both now and into eternity. This morning, may we be reminded to keep our trust in Him. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that we can so easily get caught up chasing after shiny things, working for things that perish, trying to find satisfaction in things that are ultimately meaningless. When we know that You are the bread of life, that we have all that we could possibly ever hope and need, in fact, more than we can even imagine. Lord, we praise You because You satisfy our hunger and our thirst. Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on You and to keep going back to the source of the bread of life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.